you see people who truly believe, they sponsor what they believe. Once you can amplify the intensity of the value, the winged creatures will carry your voice. The degree to which you are interested in the king, in his agenda, in his way of doing things, is the degree to which the king empowers you. But the proof of desire is possible, say, and the proof of love is given. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, I'm excited this morning. I don't know about you. Who is excited? You see, if all I do for you in your life is to set up a fire for the gospel, I'm your best friend. I have helped you. Hallelujah. Can we read it together? One, two, go. And all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm speaking on kingdom first. Priority lessons for greatness, right? So this should be part three. Hallelujah. So I'll wrap that up and then we share the vision for the year. Kingdom first. Priority lessons for greatness. We started by saying greatness is not the worldly word. Greatness is a biblical word. God wants a student to be great. I'm going to say greatness means surpassing enduring relevance. Thank you. Enduring relevance, having impact that transcends time and geographical confinements. Glory to God. And that is the vision of God for his people, man and woman, male and female, whether you're a business person, a housewife, a preacher, a politician, whatever you call it. God's vision is greatness. I would say in this end time, there are things God cannot do with regular believers. You require believers being great, being larger than cities and nations. Have it together. Glory to God. And it's for a purpose, for the advancement of his agenda. Glory to God forevermore. All right. So from there, we moved on to talk about God's way of getting that done in your life. We said the world have their metrics for greatness, but God has his indices for greatness, and God has his way of greatness. Glory to God. I'm going to say that way is revealed in the scripture. He said, priority. You prioritize the kingdom and God's way of doing things. Remember, his kingdom means the king and his domain, the king and his interest, the king and his sphere of influence, the king and his agenda. We say that God is not a religious leader. In fact, God is not the Christian. Selah. You know, many Christians think that God is a Christian. Let me bust your bubbles this morning. Newsflash, God is not a Christian. God is the monarch of the universe. He is a king. Glory to God forevermore. He is not a religious God. He is a monarch. He is not a democratically elected president. He is a monarch. And you see, when you study literature about monarchical system, about kingship and royalty, you will know that everything around the kingdom is about the king. Everything is designed and is run to satisfy the king. How about together? And that's a dimension of Christianity you must understand. That your father is a monarch. And that monarch has a domain through upon which his interest must prevail. Upon which his glory must prevail. Glory to God forevermore. How about together? Amen. So went further to say that the proof of priority is investment of time, attention, and resources. That's the proof of priority. So if the kingdom of God is a priority, and that is God's order for greatness, it must show in your investment of time, of attention, and of resources. Aside that, you are just pretending. Like Jesus said, these people praise me with their mouths, but their heart is not with me. Amen. That means if you say, oh, I love Jesus so much, I love God, I want to love God, we can track your time. We can track what you give attention to. We can track the flow of your resources and know whether the king and his interest is a priority. The king and his interest. The things you have shared this morning is about the king and his interest. Are we together? Is somebody still with me? All right. So we broke it down, it says, into five parts, right? The first one says the priority of truth. Number two, we say the priority of prayer. Number three, we say the priority of sponsoring the gospel. Did I give you all that? I believe I did. The priority of truth. The priority of truth. The priority of truth. And we went to Luke chapter 10, verse 39, I believe, to 42. Yes. The priority of truth. The priority of truth. And that was the story of Mary. You need to get me now. I'm into today's message now. You know, it was the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus addressed Martha that she was bothered about many things, not just about cooking. And he said, one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good path. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So Mary was giving priority to truth. And Jesus said, this is the wisdom of Mary. And this is what is needed. Sitting at the feet of truth. Giving priority to truth. Glory to God. We said the first ministry of the gospel, which is the truth, interchangeably the word, the gospel, truth. We use them interchangeably. Are we together? All right. We said the first ministry, and you need to get this. The first ministry of the gospel in your life after you are born again is the reconstruction of your mind. Never forget that. Is the reconstruction of your mind. That means the gospel is not finished with you yet just because you got born again. That is the beginning of the journey. After you're born again, the first thing the world does, the first thing the gospel does as a ministry, as a ministry means it's not a once a while thing. Ministry communicates a sense of consistency, a sense of continuity. In fact, until he finally hands you over to the Lord Jesus in his appearing. The reconstruction of your mind. The renovation of your mind. The gospel begins to work on your way of thinking. Have it together. And then through that working, it gives you a sense of priority for the things that are important. Never forget this. The priority of truth. So you must consciously interface with the truth of God's word to get the right mental framework required to be everything that God wants you to be on the earth. Listen to me. Listen to me. And this is the crux of the New Testament, of the life in Christ in the New Testament. There is a mental framework God wants to give you through the ministry of the word that will possess you to receive that which he has prepared for you. Did you get that? Listen, there are two kinds of people in the Bible. And there are two kinds of people on the earth today, two kinds of believers. You have the achievers and the receivers. And you see that in the Bible. You have those who go to do things in the energy of the flesh. And you have those who are positioned in faith to receive that which God has made ready. Do you know even today in this service, in this church that is going on, there are those who hustle to make things happen. And there are those who understand that, look, what God really wants is to enter into a mental framework to receive that which God has prepared. Can I continue? You know, in Genesis chapter 4, when you read 9 to 10, the Bible says, Cain went out of the presence of God. Follow me. He went out of the presence of God in verse 9. In verse 10, the Bible says he built a city and named him after his son. You know, in motivational speaking, we can say, oh, Cain was a cursed man. He built a city. That is nice for motivation. But when we break down Bible to review deep stuff and true revelation of God's operation, that is the way of Cain. That is not the way of the believer. He built a city. For Abraham, what happened? Abraham was looking for a city. Oh, you didn't get that. He was looking for a city that God has built to inherit. We are in the way of Abraham. We are not in the way of Cain. Are you getting that? Cain was an achiever. Naturally speaking, that's the hustler. He built a city. But the Bible says Abraham was looking for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. The city was already prepared. And that is the life of the New Testament believer. That means Abraham was to come into a mental framework where he arrives in that city. Can I shock you? The city that Cain built is no more. But the city that Abraham found is still here. Are you here? Go to verse 8 of that Hebrews 11. Let me pick it up from verse 8. Are you learning something? That means you must approach life with a sense of having an inheritance. Oh God. You know, next week Sunday, we're going to start Money Matters. Every first service. And then second service is talk about love, sex, and marriage. Amen. You can't miss February for anything. And part of the things I'll teach you is receiving wealth as an inheritance. Part of what I'll teach you. Then on Tuesdays, we'll talk about businesses. Look at this. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. That means everything you ever have in this life, you have to receive it as an inheritance. If it's coming from God. He was called to go to a place where he is to receive. Can you see? I say achievers and receivers. As an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he went. Next verse. Oh, glory to God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 now. Oh, hallelujah. For he looked for a city. He looked for a city. That city is Zion. He looked for a city. He did not build a city. Don't try to build a city. He looked for a city that had foundation. Whose builder, who built the city and maker is who? Is God. In life, there is a Cain way and there is the way of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. We inherit cities. Are you here? We inherit it. Whatever dimension of wealth God has shown you as a vision is an inheritance. Now, what do you do? This is why you see in Hebrews 4, what did he say? He said, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. This is that rest. He says, labor therefore to enter into the rest. Verse 4 also says, he said, for the works were finished from the foundations of the earth. The works have been finished. So your job is to labor to enter into that rest. And how you labor, how you burst into the city whose builder and maker is God, is giving priority to truth. Sitting at his feet. You know, go back to Genesis. You will notice that Jacob looked like an unserious person. Have you noticed? He looked like he wasn't unserious. Cain was a hustler. Is somebody with me this morning? Cain was the hustler. Esau was the hustler. Going to the farm, shooting things, you know, was a man's man. Probably was a macho man. Amen. Glory to God. If you looked at the outside, you will miss God. Jacob was at home. He was unserious. Mommy's boy, right? Woman rapper, right? And in those visits, in those times rather, he was hearing, where do you think he got the sense of value for the birthright from? Somebody told him. Listen to me. That means life is first about what you are hearing, not what you are doing. That is why it saddens my heart to see believers hustling. They don't have time to listen to God's word. Struggle will continue. How you enter into this inheritance is laboring, and that laboring is giving priority to truth. That laboring is the wisdom of Mary that we saw in Luke chapter 10. That is the laboring. the wisdom of maybe staying at the feet of the master. He looked like unserious, no future ambition, but was here. It was the hearing stories of the covenant. Oh, he heard about his grandfather. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. He heard about the man called Melchizedek. Liskobaratoska. He heard about Noah. And he saw that Kai, these things, is by receiving an inheritance from God. It's by receiving an inheritance from God. Those of you who are pastors here, ministry is an inheritance. It's by inheritance. It's not just fasting and prayer. It's an inheritance. It's an inheritance. Kai, let me not go in that direction. It's an inheritance. He heard those stories. On the outward, they looked unserious. But internally, he came to a place where he had value for the things that matter. The hustler didn't have value for the things that matter. It's the same thing happening today. They are hustlers and they are receivers. Who are you? You know, when you tell someone, okay, you want to be a millionaire in dollars before you are 35, that's nice. The way to it is to sit down with God's word. Someone say, he can't connect it. That's a hustler. A receiver knows that the city is already ready. What I need to do is to sustain the mental framework, is to sustain the internal environment, is to sustain that level of fellowship with truth where I can see what God is showing. Are we together? I'm saying very serious things this morning. Is somebody still here? And once you can see it, it enters into your hand. It comes into your hand. You now have a word. You have a word from the Lord. You have a word from the Lord. You have a word from the Lord. And it's clear. You didn't make it up in your head. You have a word from the Lord. Oh, glory to God. You have received that thing now. You are not making it happen. You have received it. Hallelujah. We are receivers. Glory to God. And the way is to labor to enter. And that labor is the wisdom of Mary. Priority to truth. Priority to truth. Giving attention to truth. Never be too busy for the word. Ever. Oh God. Listen. Faith in your heart is more dependable than 10 million naira in your bank account. Quote me anywhere. Look at Esau. He was the hardworking one, right? One of the kings hard work. The Bible talks about diligence, really, not Esau's kind of work. But you see, because he didn't have the right value systems, he lost the birthright. In fact, he took everything in Isaac's house. Are you aware that Jacob didn't leave the place with anything apart from his staff? He says, for with my staff I crossed over this Jordan. Now I have become two bands. So it's not really about what you have in your hand. No, it's about what is on your head and what is happening in your heart. I told the young man, I said, I've even said it here. It's better to have seed in the ground and have nothing at hand than to have, you have a nice car, you have live in a nice house, this is happening, and you don't have seed in the soil. The way Satan will play you like chess, you'll be amazed. Because these are laws. Jacob left with nothing but the word of blessing that he caught by inheriting that thing, by sitting, rather, that he got by sitting down to hear the things that matter. Are we here? Glory to God. The priority of truth. The priority of truth. I thought to add that for you. Were you blessed? Number two, the priority of sponsoring the gospel. That's the one I'll talk about today. The priority of sponsoring the gospel. It's Vision Sunday. The priority of sponsoring the gospel. Give me Psalm 68 verse 11. Psalm 68 verse 11. Somebody will catch this thing in this service. you will catch it. You see, it's better to teach you how to fish than to give you fish. Church is not every time you come to Sunday, the Lord bless you. We declare upon you, you are blessed. The doors have opened for you, that door, and then I prophesy you. I see this happening around you. I see that, and then we'll go. Knocks and we'll do the same thing. Ah, that's a wicked pastor. Amen. Church is a place of training. A place where your paradigm is shifted. A pastor is not a babalawo. Do you understand? That I come just to have quick fix. You know quick fix? Just this, I need a job. No. And he does it. You don't go back to Baba again until you need another help. No, a pastor is a trainer. That's why you may love, of course, I know this church is a well-taught and wise church. You cannot love a guest minister more than your pastor, right? That's why you see churches where they love guest ministers more than their pastors. Because they don't understand the place of a pastor. A pastor is a trainer. A pastor is a developer. Glory to God. All right, you see, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who published it. No, think about this. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those who published it. Amazing. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those who published it. That means I found my way to greatness. If you didn't see Matthew 6:33 before, when you see this, I mean, your arguments, you melt. That means as long as I can publish the word that the Lord gave, I'm in the company of the great. Did you see that? As long as I can be a part of those who are publishing his word, I am in the company of the great. Oh, glory to God. The Lord gave a word. How does God? Listen, when God wants to do something significant with your life, he partners with you on the earth for his agenda. That's what he does. That's what he does. This is God's method for greatness. This is how to do business in deep waters, according to Psalm 107, right? This is how to do business in great waters. The Lord gave a word, great was the company of those who published it. Publishing with your time, publishing with your talent, publishing with your treasures, with your finances, publishing by telling someone about Jesus, publishing. And okay, later in this year, we're going to have a talk on global evangelism. Listen, the things you heard me say while the talk show was going on are the things I believe. How much are you ready to put into this gospel? What are you ready to put into this gospel? People are putting their resources in lies. People are putting their resources in what does not save a soul. You believe in the Lord Jesus. What is your vision? What is your vision? What can you see? And that's to show you. When was the last time you saw an imam doing evangelism on the street? Talk to me now. When was the last time you saw it? Is a religion not growing? Talk to me now. Let's have a practical. Is a religion not growing? When was the last time you saw a secular humanist? Or the people who sponsor the whole LGBT thing, trying to do evangelism. You must believe that it's somebody's right to be gay. It is not wrong to be gay. Did they do evangelism to you like that? No. Should I get into this thing today? It will help you. The idea that evangelism is just by going to the streets will keep Jesus in heaven for a long time. Are you here? Or you think missions is just going to one village and staying there for 10 years, building them hospital and building school for them, or just we'll keep Jesus in heaven for a long time. But you see, God has given us apostolic patterns for taking the nations. Is there in scriptures? He says, in the last days, yet God, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted on top of the mountains, and shall be established on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. Then, what will happen? Look at this. Look at this. All nations shall flow. So, nations are not flowing yet, because we have not carried out the scripture. He told us, go to verse 3 and just check what he said. He says, how many people? Talk to me. How many people? Many. Many people shall go and say, come ye. They will talk to themselves. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. Automated evangelism. Somebody says, is this possible? Yes. Yes. Of course, we're going to hit the street this year. There's a place for that. But see, that is not all there is. That's a small fraction. That's a small fraction. That's a small fraction. Like, was it Dr. Uche that said during the talk show, how can we make Jesus, how can we make being a Christian easy? We'll make people liable to accept Jesus. Are you getting this? That's where we're at. He's not arguing on the street. Have you noticed that in Acts of the Apostles, a major way the gospel spread was by popularity? Have you noticed? By popularity. That means people, believe it or not, people will always be attracted to something that is huge and massive. Are you getting me? Even your social media algorithms do the same thing. If there's more engagement, they promote it. Are you here? Someone say, oh, pastor spent millions to buy a screen. You are not a soul winner. You are not a soul winner. This is the beginning. By the time I show you the kind of facility we are going to build as phase one, just phase one, phase two, every young person who is under 40 would like to be in church. Are you here? Every movement on the earth is sponsored by massive wealth. Never forget that. If you are quiet and think his offering and tithe will use to push his gospel to the nation, you are not yet a partner with God. You have to tell yourself that this gospel must be so obvious, must be put in a place where the Prince of England can see it. Oh, I'll never forget. It was Reverend Christopher Clement that said this years ago. Oh, I prayed. I said, what is thinking? What the man? No wonder God gave the world to him. What the thinking? He went to the U.S. and paid $8 million to a secular TV station that airs coast to coast to be on air, minus production. Was it 6 months or so, or 9 months? $8 million. $7 to $8 million. Not Christian channel. Amen. Not Christian channel. That's the paid at once. They were not doing $8 million. How many billions of naira is that? Glory to God. Let me add this. It will bless you. And I'm raising kingdom people. Not this change Christianity we're talking about. When you see that, you know how you can channel $100 million in 1 month. You know which organizations to send them to. You know what to do with them. And it will shift 1 million people to be pro-Christ. Now, he says, he was talking to the Lord. He said, I've been having meetings in U.S. and all that in Texas. He said, Lord, when are we going to do big things in U.S.? You know what God told him? God told him, you have not put enough money into this country to have the rights to have your voice heard. He said, yeah. And then they began to put millions of dollars into television, internet, printing rhapsodies. Are you here? Woo! glory to God. Kai alakosabaya. Kai. And then God said, now you have the right to talk to the country. Amen. Now, this is what you should think. Why would God tell a preacher, you don't have enough investment in this country to have the kind of impact on souls that you want? Because God is a just judge. If a guy starts a pro-gay whatever organization and puts $2 million, somebody starts church, and then he thinks $10 million is big money, you know who have influence over the city? No, talk to me. All the church is wondering. You know, I was telling festivals, I say, look at, they say $10 million. I say, it looks so small. I'm just relative to what I have to do this year. Jesus Christ. I'm praying that one person should just give that. Say amen now. Are you blessed? Is your mind expanding? One person should just do that. This is why our children don't watch the Christian cartoons. They are slow. Jesus is walking like this. Oh, my disciples. Have you eaten today? And then they go to Nicledon. Is it Nicledon to call it? And things are moving fast. And now you are forcing them. No, you must watch this. No, when you leave, they will change the channel. Christians, who did this to us? Listen. Go on, find. Do your research. Google it. How much money those secular cartoon networks put into research? How much money they put into R&D? That's what called research and development. Those of you that are business people, R&D. If you find out how much money they put into R&D, they have mapped how your child thinks and respond to colors. And says, so, no, Christian, just put it like that. It's not Jesus. They will learn about the gospel. But what's my point? That research and development costs millions of dollars. Are we ready to give the millions of dollars? I want to challenge. Like I said, it's beyond this Vision Sunday. It's beyond today. It's an ideology I want to implant. Because I told you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the ministry after you're born again, is to forge an ideology of dominion in your soul. Are we together? There's an ideology. The gospel must forge into your mind. The gospel is to weaponize your mind for kingdom takeover. There's the way you think. The things I'm saying, how many people know it? How many people think like that? How many pastors, you hear them talk like that? Whether you believe it or not, your children will play video games. Do we have our own video games in there? If it's where stuff you are looking for, they are in the book of Ezekiel. Wheel between wheels. Creatures with four faces. They're in the Bible. Fire within wheels. We have everything. You know the problem? How much value have we placed on Jesus and the gospel? You know, when the woman busted the perfume, you know what the disciples say? What a waste. Do you know many of us are still saying that same thing? What a waste. We say we need 100 million for church. You're thinking, this is just, what do you need on? Instead of you to be angry and say, Pastor, you declare 3 days fasting and prayer. You say, God, at least I must give 10% of that 100 million. And you start crying and you start going for jobs. Are we here? We say we're going to do an app. A discipleship app for millennials. Everybody 40 years downward. We're not looking for people. Of course, you know, when you draw the curve, those can be a part. But our major target are those people. Other people can be a part of it, those in their 50s and 60s. Our major target, those in their 40s and below. Are you here? They will play game. They'll watch cartoon. They're on social media. People on social media. Is the gospel there? You know, I was told about an organization. I had a training for social media use. I got somebody to train me on how to propagate things on social media. They say there's an organization that runs 45 ads every day, 365 years. 45 ads running concurrently across all platforms. That means you must see it. If you go on Instagram, you see it. If you go on Facebook, you see it. And then you have a church that has not been on Facebook since 2015. Last post, 2019. Are we serious? Do you want to take the generation? Are you here? Am I provoking you? Glory to God. God does not do use and dumb. No. When he uses you. This year, Luke chapter 5. Quickly, we'll stop there. Are you blessed? Luke chapter 5. I'm loaded this morning. I have anything to tell you, but I've got to stop because of time. All right, Luke chapter 5. Start from verse 1. God doesn't do use and dumb. No. If you give him platform this year, he will multiply your results. Oh, yes, he will. Look at this. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Next verse, we're reading to verse 5. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. You remember, this is Peter now and his partners. Next verse. And he entered one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him, or he asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Whose ship did he use? Simon Peter's ship. Can the Lord use your ship this year? What did he use the ship for? To preach. Amen. Question. Jesus already had the message. Dr. Caris already has the message. You see, Jesus, having a message was not enough. He needed a posture. And he needed a partnership of a man called Simon Peter to get that posture so that his voice can reach more people. That was what happened here. And he gave him his sheep. Are you going to give God your sheep this morning? This year? Will you give him your sheep so he can have platform to amplify his voice? What he did was through that sheep, he went into the waters so that the wave of the waters can carry his voice to the multitude. That was the signs he used. There were no mics. He had to depend on the waves of the water. He already had the message. But will you give him the platform? Am I talking to someone this morning? What was it? With what you're hearing, you are not thinking of 50,000, 100,000 this year. What was it? Capital project. Are we together? Whether you are in school, whether you are 16 years old, it makes no difference. If your heart is burning, the monies will come. Are you here? Give me verse 3. Give me verse 3. You heard him well when he said about 6 people gave a large percentage of that 10 million. You see, it's not because to downplay the giving of others, but it's to challenge you to rise. Imagine if those 6 people were 60. We will not be here. Amen. Glory to God. And he entered into one of the ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him, give me your ship. And then he sat down and taught the people out of the ship that belonged to Simon. Next verse. Oh, glory to God. Now, when he had left speaking, when he was done, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch of your life. God does not use and dumb. No. You make sacrifices for him, he doesn't leave you the same way he met you. He doesn't. Most times people don't believe God enough to step out in faith. That's what we call it, sponsoring what you believe. The priority of sponsoring what you believe. And this is not chicken change. Have a vision for this year. And have a vision for the next 10 years. This is how much I'll put into the gospel every year. As I'm talking, you may not even have food in your house. It makes no difference. You catch this vision. God's problem is not giving you food. You don't have vision. That's the problem. Catch the vision of giving him a platform to preach. Look at this. And Simon answering and said unto him, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. That means this, it doesn't matter what you've been trying to get that you've not been able to get. Ah, yeah. You know, did somebody get that? Simon had been toiling to catch fish. He couldn't. And then he partnered with the master. So it's not about what you've been trying to get that you have not gotten. Mm-mm. It's about, will you give him a platform? He said, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will let down the net. Next verse. Verse 6 now. Oh, glory. Oh, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Net breaking harvest. By just giving that man of Galilee a platform. Will you give him platform this year? Will you amplify his voice this year by your contribution to this local church? Give him platform. When we say it's time to win souls, to bring people to church, to do discipleship, to do this one, to give, be there. When it's time to pray, be there. Because I've told you, the purpose of growth is responsibility. Everybody should be involved. God does not use and dump. No. He blesses. Amazing. Is that not remarkable? Is that not remarkable? Lastly, let me show you. Oh, glory to God. I'm full of matter. I'll drop one more. And then we'll go to the vision. Are you blessed? Very quickly, Mark chapter 10. You go to Mark chapter 10. Mark, St. Mark's gospel. Very quickly. St. Mark's gospel, chapter 10, verse 19. Verse 19. We will stop there. The priority of sponsoring what you believe. When you hear that India has a population of 1.2 billion people. You know 1.2 billion? The 0.2 is not 2 million. It's not 20,000. The 0.2 is what? 200 million. That means they have 1 billion people plus 200 million people. The on top is the population of Nigeria. That's the on top now. Amen. Do you understand? Can I surprise you? Christians are not more than 100 million. Amen. Christians are about 100 million. The 100, 120 million. You can Google it. So you know what that means? The remaining 1 billion plus are not saved. Are not saved. Are you here? So when you see like this, like T.L. Osborne will pray for people in those days. He said, young people, may God make China beautiful to you. So then China was not like this, oh, a communist nation, poor communist nation, with all kinds of affliction in the 60s. When he's talking to young people, he said, may God make China beautiful to you. He wants to raise them as missionaries, so he talks to them like that. Listen, when you hear things like this, what comes to your mind? The gospel is not cheap, it's free. But somebody has to pay for you to get to the nations. Are you aware that the YouVersion app you are using is available to you for free because somebody is paying? Are you aware? There's a billionaire in the US. There's a billionaire in the US that pays for it. It's a billionaire in dollars and he's a Christian. That's the only company that has 0% investment from anywhere else. He owns his businesses by himself and his family. He's a billionaire in dollars. He pays for it so you can have it. Are you here? Are you here? Put it off for me very quickly. Oh, blessed Jesus. Thank you. Very quickly. This vision Sunday. Oh, no, I personally, I don't know about you. I'm feeling the fire of the vision. Is somebody feeling it? Hi. All right. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, follow me, or brethren, or sistren, say amen, or father, or mother, or wife, or children. You can notice wife is singular. Amen. All right. Or lands. Amen. Or lands for my sake. For my sake. And the gospels. Can you see? That means you make sacrifices for the gospel. For the gospel. He said they left land. They were inconvenienced in their family life. All right. Next verse now. Next verse. But you shall receive 100-fold now in this time. God doesn't do use and dump. How did it start? When you go to verse 28, it was Peter that said, Master. Now, let's go back to where it started from. Verse 17. the young rich ruler. How many of you remember the young rich ruler? Who remembers the story of the young rich ruler? Verse 17 to 21. Amen. He came to Jesus. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he told him, watch this. Keep all the commandments. You know them. Keep all of them. He said, all these things have I done. Give me verse 21. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. Verse 22. And he was sad at this age. And he went his way grieved, for he had great possession. Next verse. And Jesus said, oh, this guy is attached to his money. You know what the master was saying? He does not understand that money is a tool. Let me blow your mind now. Verse 21 says, go sell all you have and give to the poor. What do you give to the poor? He says to the poor, the gospel. The gospel is being preached. He's not just talking about almsgiving. You know, many places in scriptures, in that Luke 4, he said to the gospel, the gospel has been preached. In Matthew 11, is there. To the poor, the gospel is being preached. What God accredited to be given to the poor is the gospel. What he's saying is, sell everything you have and get across to the poor that which they need. The gospel. He said, put everything inside reaching people. I know some of you caught it. Some of you caught it. And guess what? Jesus was giving him the greatest business proposition in the world. And it was after that, when Peter now asked, we who have left all and followed, what shall we have? He said, anything you leave. So imagine the young rich ruler. If he sold, are you seeing it now? He's in the same place. If he sold everything he had, to get the gospel to the poor, he would have had a hundredfold harvest. That's times 100 here in this life. And then untold reward in the life to come. So he just missed out a business investment opportunity. Is somebody hearing me this morning? This is my life. Oh, I don't have another life. Gospel to all nations. Gospel to all nations. Lift your right hand. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am determined as a matter of priority to sponsor what I believe. To sponsor the gospel. I am a publisher of the word that you have given. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, my greatness has come. And I get an amen. Hallelujah.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.